With me to Exodus. Exodus. I'll tell you in a minute. Well, I get there. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, verse 2. Thank you. I like it when some of the people that's attending both services, so they help me preach in the second one. The only thing is they don't laugh at my jokes in the second one. So you have to pretend now, okay? Okay. So when they don't laugh, you should know they're the ones that didn't. Oh, did it in both services. But that lady in the back there with the glasses on there, the Lord says that He's busy preparing you for to meet Him. Like in John 4, there's some. I see the woman at the well, and that she met Jesus there. But there's something special that the Lord wants to use your influence with women. I see you working with women, and the Lord says He's busy setting you up just for a special encounter with Him to impart something special into you that you can give out to women and to make a difference in the lives of many women there. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword this morning, Lord, and that you just come, Lord, to divide between bone and marrow, Lord, between soul and spirit this morning, between the truth and the lies, Lord. We pray that you would just come and, Lord, as your word says in Romans 12, too, Lord, that we would just come and renew our mind this morning again, Lord. Father, we lay down our ways, our thoughts this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, will you just come and impart your ways, your thoughts, everything from you, Lord, in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start with a story this morning. And that's why I say they can't laugh again or they wouldn't. It's not necessarily a joke. Maybe you'll see when we come to the end of it. But I heard a story about this young man that wanted to marry this rich farmer. He had a very beautiful daughter. So he went to the guy and said, "May I marry your daughter?" And the guy said, "Well, anytime, on the condition that you catch this bull. I've got a few bulls there. And if you can catch one of them and pull it on its tail, then you can marry my daughter." He said, "Well, I'll do anything for that beautiful daughter of yours. So when can we do that?" He said, "Next Saturday. Come here next Saturday. We will arrange something then. And we can see if it's working." So anyway, the next Saturday he was there. And this guy had a big, what's a stall, a store at the back there. Gates closed, doors closed, and the young boy, a young man was standing here in the paddock, just waiting and looking at this door, any time to open, And as the door was opening, here comes the biggest bull he's ever seen in his life, Said like in the rodeo once, when you see in America how they ride those bulls, they throw them off after a few seconds. But he was a very fierce bull, and he just decided, "Listen, I'm not gonna take any chances. This thing is gonna kill me. Let it just pass." And he let him pass through. So he thought, "I've got two more chances. The next one, I'll go for that one." And then doors open again. This time, this bull is even bigger than the previous one. Long horns, and he thought, "No, this one doesn't look good. I've got one more chance. Let me just go. And then I have to take my chances now on the last one." And so on. The doors opened, and the last bull that came out was a little small bull, I think you get it. Down here in the south, they call it Dexter. Now, if you were farming with Dexter cattle, you'll know there's a small cattle. It must have been one of those, And he's coming out there, and he thought, "I'll just jump on his back, I'll even ride it up to the farmer, and this is my opportunity, this is my chance." And as he's jumping on this bull, and he wanted to pull the tail, he realized that the bull hasn't got a tail, And the point I'd like to make this morning is that very often we miss opportunities that's coming along. We never know if that opportunity will come along again. We postpone and we say, "Well, I'll do it another day," or, "I'll just wait for another chance," and then we don't know. It seems with the eye, that we all get another day, but I don't know always if we get the chance. And likewise, in the kingdom of God, it's always like that. God opens a door, or God will prompt you to do something, and He's asking you, would you do that? And then we sometimes postpone, or we just have a complacent spirit in us, and the opportunity might just go by, and you never know whether you get that opportunity, And it's always, I remember while I was in Somerset West, one night I was coming from we had a meeting at church, and I was just coming from this meeting was late, after 10, and as I'm driving into our complex, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, Go to the security guard and speak to the security guard and just show him your appreciation for what he's doing. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm just tired. I had a long meeting. All I want to do is just get in bed, you know. And as I'm getting home, you know, I'm taking a shower. Now the Holy Spirit starts convicting me, you know. And so you were disobedient. And so I'm just busy arguing with the Lord there. And I said, Lord, but I cannot go back now. So I'm eventually in bed. And now it's nice and warm. It's even more comfortable. And I'm still, the Spirit doesn't want to leave me. And I'm just in a process. And it's such a bad place in a way to be, you know, because, you know, you've just messed up now. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I was just disobedient. Will I ever get the chance again? The Lord said, I'll give you another chance. Can you go back? Now I'm battling with the flesh again. Okay, now so nice and warm. Shall I get out of my bed, get dressed, and go back to the security guard? Long story short, I did it, and I went to the security guard, prayed with him. He was stabbed a long while ago with a knife, and he had the knife or the limb was still in his lung here. Now, no miracles happened there. I wish I could have told you that that thing disappeared. I don't know. But the Lord told me a big lesson there about obedience. When God talks, we need to be obedient, you know, at that moment. He gives us opportunities. Very often, it comes at us, those times when we think, you know, it's not now, Lord. I'm just busy with my own things, you know. And He would often do that in times like that when we think, I'm just minding my own business. Lord, don't interfere now. Or at least it happened with me like that, you know. And I learned a very stern lesson there about obedience when God speaks. But let's read from Romans, in Exodus 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. Now this is Moses talking and arguing with God here. Or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Some translations talk about the staff. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now this is my staff this morning. I'm going to throw it in the ground and then everybody's going to run out here. Okay? We don't live in the days of Moses. We're still living in the days when God is still doing miracles. Okay? I don't know what our reaction will be if that happens this morning. I might be the first one to run out. You know? And when I see a snake, I kill it. Okay? I don't know if I'll be. But that must have been an experience for Moses, you know, throwing down the stuff and then suddenly there's a snake here in front of you. And the Lord said, grab it by the tail, you know. I don't know whether I would have killed it first and then pick it up, you know. That's another faith thing, you know, which you need. But the Lord asked Moses one of the most important questions that he would ever ask humankind. What is that in your hand? I believe the most important question that God will ask to all of us is, first of all, what did you do with my son Jesus? Then, second to that, he will ask you, what is that in your hand? In other words, what did I put in your hand, that ability, that I've gifted you with? What did you do with that? And likewise, I believe he will ask ourselves, and that's why we have to do some self-examination this morning and ask ourselves the question, what is in our hands? We were created to honor God with our gifting, with our abilities, with our resources. None of us can sit here this morning to say and say, Lord, I haven't received anything. I'm just here on a mission just to enjoy Swakopmund. You know, there's already such a relaxed spirit here, and it's good. This is holiday spirit. But we should be careful that it doesn't get into us, you know, sometimes. That doesn't mean you should run the fastest always. You should use wisdom. But we need to multiply what God has given us. And I'm proposing to you this morning that what is in your hand is more than what you can realize. The abilities that God has placed in your hand, that ability, if you move out in faith and allow God to just do the wonders, do the multiplication, you will stand amazed by what God can do. But I want to talk about three things that this staff, now the normal shepherd staff wouldn't look like this. This look more like this thing. It looks like an aerial, but it reminds me of a rotang that we grew up still when Leifstraf was still in, you know, at school. Nowadays they don't do this, so we used to get six of the best, you know, and all of those things. You were very afraid of that, but the normal staff normally had a curl like this, you know, and you must have seen the pictures in the Bible stories, you know, when Moses with his beard is standing there with his staff. That's what it looked like. And but first of all, this staff, when Moses had this thing in his hand and when people looked at him, it represented his identity. They knew this man was a shepherd by just looking at the staff. And likewise, God has gifted you in such a way that those things that he's gifted you with, your abilities, you cannot kind of separate that from your identity, from who you is. God created you in such a way to use you the way you are. And very often we have excuses, Lord, I cannot, or I haven't got the ability, or how can you use me? God says, I can use you as you are because I created you that way. It's just for us to find that place, to find that place where we can slot in. And like with Moses, there was more in his hands, more than just a staff. There was actually a snake in his hands. But inside of our hands, there's more. And when the Lord asked Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? He wanted Moses to realize what's in his hand. Not because the Lord didn't know what's in his hand. God knows all those things. And when he asked us that question this morning as well, he wants us to think about that. You're not going to surprise God this morning by telling him what's in your hand. He knew that before he created you, before the earth was created, God determined what would be in your hand. And there's more than meets the mere eye. More than what we sometimes believe God for is hidden in our eye, in our hands. That seed that we need to sow this morning, being available. And in Ephesians 3:20 it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And it's one of my favorite scriptures, you know. When I meditate upon that, it just blows me to think that God can do, I love it, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. All that we can ask or think. We don't know what God can do with what we have in our hands if we just become available and say, Lord, here I am. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But I want you to notice the word prepared. Prepared. Now my English tells me it's past tense. That means that God is not busy preparing something great for you, or I'm not trying to preach a prosperity message here this morning, but to walk in those great works. Okay, let's stay away from the money this morning. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about unleashing that which God has placed inside of you, on your hand. There is more than what you believe God for. And God says he's already prepared that. He's not busy preparing it. He's prepared it. He already had it in his mind before you were created. He saw you. He saw that need in the world. He saw that place where you will be at that time. And likewise, we read in Romans 4:17, call those things that though as if they are. You know, the way it works with that scripture, I always never understood it. The spiritual realm is much more real than what we can see or what we can experience. Like we are sitting here this morning and we see each other. But the spiritual realm was there before even we were in the creation ourselves. And the Lord says, call those things that are not as though they are. The way it works is God has, it's like a bottle, if I can demonstrate it like this. There's a lot of things about our lives that's locked up in this bottle. And this bottle is the spiritual realm, if you can picture this for a moment. All the things that God wanted for you is in that bottle. And it already exists. It's already been given to you in the spiritual realm. Now all you need to do, you and me need to do, is to take those things and speak it into existence in the natural realm. And call those things that's not as though they are. But we need to get to that place in our relationship with the Lord where we find out, Lord, what have you blessed? What's already been blessed? what's already been manifested in the spiritual realm, and what should I call? And when we come to that place in our lives when we pray like that as well, that is a satisfying place to be, because then your prayers it gets answered, but you feel you pray effectively, because you know you see things happening, because then you know I'm just drawing and I'm just tapping into the Spirit. I'm just calling those things. I'm not just praying here and there, and I'm just calling or asking things according to my selfish desires. But I know I'm at a secure place in my relationship with the Lord, and it's not to be bragging, it's not to be, but when you know how God feels about you and you are confident about that, you don't have to make excuses when God bless you and you are at a place of prospering sometimes, and the world will sometimes say, no, this guy is a bit cocky, or what's the word, but you know that you're just this channel, you're just that God is just blessing you, and you're just at a place of blessing. You found that place where your hand is open and God is using that. And in Isaiah 46:10 we read that the word says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, I shared in the first service as well, I read a long while ago that they say in Hollywood, when they make a film, they would start with the end scene first. Then they finish that, and then they will work their way back to the beginning. Likewise, I want to propose to you this morning that it's working the same in the kingdom of God, according to Isaiah 46:10, that God says, I'm declaring the end times from the beginning. God already saw the end of your life, where He is taking you. Way back before you were even created, He saw how He already overcame everything. He already gave you the tools. And now He's working way back and He's saying to you, you know what, you cannot see that, but believe me that you are a winner, that you are overcoming the situation. You just need to release that which is in your hand. Trust me. And when the Lord asked Moses, what is in your hand? He wanted Moses to surrender that. He wanted Moses to drop that thing. When Moses dropped that staff, the moment he dropped it, it became a snake. But no, Moses never knew that, or never would have seen that it would have become a snake unless he dropped that. Many times we are holding fast to that which God has given us. We don't want to trust the Lord just to see where He's going to go with this. Our occupation, our identity, our career. That doesn't mean that maybe necessarily when we give it over to God that you have to be a full-time minister. But it's just to get to that place where you say, Lord, I'm trusting you with my identity, my career. Just to give it over to you and say, Lord, show me your plan. I shared with them in the first service, you know, it's all about availability. It's about just the right heart attitude and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm happy to do that. As long as it's blessing the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter the contribution. We talked about that a week or two ago about our contribution. God never sees it as, oh, this guy is just packing out the chairs and he's just cleaning the chair. Or the guy that's coming here on a Saturday and he's cleaning everything. According to God, if that is what he's called to do, that will weigh as much as the guy that's maybe here in the front and preaching, whatever. But if we are faithful to what God called us, we will receive those rewards. And as we were driving this week, I just was taught again, or I just saw the example of how someone that's available can just make a difference. I was driving with Dennis through the DRC and those communities there. And we got to one of the churches there. One of the pastors is doing the Bible school here with us. And was just standing in his church and just observing what they're doing. You know, by the way, they don't even have a projector to sing the songs. We are so blessed, you know. And I was just touched to see that the hunger, the people, that they are there doing the thing, you know. But they had a little keyboard here in the front, about this size, you know. And I asked him, so who's in your band or who's doing the music? And he said, it's my son. I said, how old is he? He's 10 years old. I met him afterwards, a young boy, you know, so friendly. But I just saw again, if somebody's available, what God can do. Using a young boy, 10 years old, to do the music of the congregation. Maybe it's because nobody else speaks up. God said, I'll use this boy. Like he had to talk through the donkey. No, he's not the donkey, but many times, you know, we're not available, and then God will choose something else. And it will embarrass us sometimes to see what God can do through people that's available. And not necessarily the ones that are gifted, you know, but the available ones God can use. And we will probably stand in the last day, you know, when we stand before God and the Lord says, okay, now this is the judgment day. We have to talk about stuff, you know, because all of us will be. This is just a different judgment. We talk a different judgment for the non-believer and the believer. But us as believers will have to appear before Christ as well. And then Christ will say, right, let me see. Can I call Pastor Van der Merwe there? Can you come to the front, please? We can talk. And then nobody will maybe respond. And then businessman Van der Merwe will stand up and say, sorry, it's maybe are you talking to me? Said, no, I said, I called Pastor Van der Merwe. So, no, Lord, but I was in the business. I liked the money. I saw the opportunity, so I rather did that, you know. The Lord said, I didn't call you to that. Vice versa, it might be. The Lord said, businessman Collins, can you come to the front, please? He'll probably say, sorry, it's Pastor Collins for you. I don't think we will talk to the Lord like that, but though, I know some of us cling to the titles. But but we need to find out where God placed us and prosper there, you know. Whether it's in ministry, whether it's at work, between our colleagues, what has God placed in your hands? Are you using it there effectively? We think it is ours. You know, we often have that mentality of as much as I can gather and Lord, I have this ability and we just use it for our own selfish desires and plans. But God is just giving it to you and me on a loan, saying, okay, there you go. Multiply it. I'll come back. And I want to see what you've done with that. And I was reading this week about David Livingstone, one of the remarkable missionaries that came out of England. And as they were bringing his body back, you know, by the way, I think I told you the story as well, that his body, his heart remained in Africa. Then when they brought back his body, his heart wasn't inside because he worked in the northern part of Africa as a missionary. And when he died on his knees, actually, in prayer. This is how they found him, in prayer, in the prayer position. And when the English government came to give him a royal burial, that's it. They found him in this position. But when they got back in England, they realized that his chest was cut open and his heart was torn out. And there was a note in the people from that village, from that part, said, you can have his body, but his heart remain in Africa, you know. So until today, his heart is somewhere hidden. And where's your heart this morning? But that's not the point of the story this morning. As they were carrying this David Livingstone's body through on the way to Westminster Abbey for the burial there, a young man was crying. And somebody approached this person and he thought that he was family of him. And he said, was he family? Why are you so sad? He said, I'll quote this from what I read. He said, I weep not for Livingstone, but for myself, the man said. He lived and died for something. I've lived for nothing. Livingstone's life motto was this: I will place no value on anything I have or possess except in its relationship to the kingdom of God. I spoke to you this 2 weeks ago about having an eternal perspective. We don't know how much time has been given to us on this side of life. Like I shared about the doors that we are walking through, that's just the door that's opening. But in actual fact, it's one long timeline that we're living already in eternity. There's just this little bit and this warm-up for the big game that will determine how we will live on that side, and what we do with what God has placed in our hands. Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. You will know about rust, what it will do to your precious possessions. And that's what's happening when we invest at the wrong place, you know. When you live in Swakopmund, you know about that. But God says this morning, you know, Do not lay up treasures there in Swakopmund, where the rust comes and your car starts to, or your kettle is starting to rust. You know, how is your bank account looking this morning in heaven, where we ought to invest in those relationships? Our relationships here on earth is the only thing that we can, in actual fact, take with us, you know, because we will know each other there. And my granddad always used to say, you know, this, are you struggling with the Afrikaans words this morning? This clothes they put you up when you die and they put you in the coffin. When those clothes haven't got bags, you know, you can try and gather as much, but you wouldn't be able to. When you go up there, you have some bags where you can put as much in there. So, but we need to get up to that place where we invest our time and our priorities in kingdom-minded things. Second thing, Moses' staff represented his income in a way. His sheep was his income. Everything, when he was looking at those sheep, he knew, are they fat? You know, I'm going to take them and slaughter them or whatever, sell them. You know, nowadays the price of the meat are so good, you know. So there would have been a royal time for Moses. But he used this rod to steer them and to direct them and just to protect his income. But my point is this morning, all the resources that God has invested in you actually belongs to Him. And God wants that. Okay? He doesn't want all your money. He wants your heart. That's the thing what He wants. If He's got your heart, He's happy. You know? It's not about getting your money. It's more than that. Because money, it goes away eventually. But your heart is the thing. God wants us to be at that place. When He said to Moses, throw that down, that meant He had to throw that down as well when it comes to the money. Just say, Lord, you know what? This money that I have, this that you've blessed me with, I just throw it down and I trust you, Lord, that you will make it alive again. And just to be at that place where we just trust in God. And likewise, we can sit here this morning holding on so much to that possession or that little bit that even. Maybe you're not as blessed as somebody else, but you got a little bit, but you still have a tight hand that's just closed. And say, Lord, I have this bit, but I cannot. You know, it's a hard story sometimes just to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know, well, I'm just going to trust you. And I read this story about this farmer, this rich farmer, this pastor was visiting him on his farm. And as they were sitting here, very vast area, you know, as far as you can see, there's just land. They were sitting here on his stoop, drinking a nice cup of coffee. And now they're having this chat. And this farmer saying, yes, you know, pastor, can you see up to there, up to that end of that mountain? As far as you can see, that is up to where my land is. He said, but on this side, can you see on there, up to the horizon there, it looks like a kind of river. A little bit further than that, up to there, my land is going on up to there. He said, up to there at the back, you know, I know you can't see there. It's going further, a few more thousand, not acres, yards, hectare. We're talking about hectare here. Further than that, that's mine. This all this I own. You know, I bought it, I worked for it. And then the pastor sat like that for a moment. He said, so how much do you own in that direction? You know? And it's about priorities. It's about where we're investing very often, you know. We need to make sure that we invest in that direction and be able to say the same thing. My last point this morning is Moses' staff represented his influence. He used this thing to influence his sheep. And if I might share another joke, it's not a joke, serious stuff. But all of us, or not all of us, some of us at home have got such things like this, not like this, but maybe a wooden spoon. You use that for influence as well with the kids sometimes, you know. And my kids, they don't like it, but that thing definitely has got an influence on kids, you know. You open the drawer and kids start you looking differently and suddenly just pick up the toy or just, you know, it just does something, you know. And I don't know what your realm of influence might be this morning. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are an attorney. Maybe you are, we have a lot of doctors in our church. I love it, you know. No, it's great. Or a grandparent or a parent, you know. But each one of us, it's got a level of influence. And I want to talk about three levels of influence briefly that we have. The first one is back at home in your family. You've got a certain amount of influence. As parent, is the father of the house, you've got influence over your kids, over your wife. Your wife has got influence. Both of you have got influence to influence your children for the kingdom. And we need to use that. Secondly, we've got influence out there in the world between our colleagues, you know, and where we are working, between our friends. God has placed you there with a purpose. You need to use that thing, that influence, you know, not like this, but just to influence people for the kingdom. And then the third place, I believe the one I like, is the influence in the church. Okay, can I preach about this one and recruit a few people? No, that's not the right way. I want to encourage you this morning to use your influence in church as well. That means that God has gifted you and then he placed you in a family. And then after a while he says to you, okay, that's now okay. You can come to on a Sunday, but you cannot just come to receive. You need to come and give something now. Okay, you need to come, in other words, get your hand dirty. Take a shovel and do the garden there. No, that's it. But he's saying to us, you need to release that which I've placed inside of you. And the only way, you know, and we had a pastor that always said, the only way how you can grow spiritually is when you start becoming involved. In a way, it's so much true, you know, when you take ownership and say, you know, I cannot just come here. I need to give something because God has placed me, something inside of me that I need to release. Because if I don't do that, three things happen. First of all, you rob somebody else that's supposed to do your part. First of all, because I believe, according to the word in Ephesians 2, that God has placed each one as a living stone in the body, in a church, and then globally the church together. But somewhere your spot is missing there, and it will be open there for you until you come to that place. Oh, maybe I'm just the best coffee maker here. Okay, I should sign up for that and come and do that. But now somebody else needs to make the coffee, two cups of coffee instead of one. But you're robbing somebody, or just, you know, somebody else needs to do them. Then secondly, if you're not taking that up, you know, it's the first one, you're robbing yourself. Sorry, I'm getting the order. Because there's a spiritual blessing, as Theo was sharing a few Sundays ago, you know. When you start to get involved, when you come to that place in your relationship, God just wants to bless you spiritually, you know. And it's difficult to define it in words, but this is one of those things you have to do it first to see what you mean with spiritual blessing, you know, just to get to that place and that satisfaction which you have when you are part of the family and you're sharing as well. And then the last one, we sometimes rob others because you've got that gift inside of you. And if you're not releasing that, say, for instance, in church, then somebody else in the sitting there in the chair at the back, you might have just, you know, said one word, but that one word blessed that person. But if you were not doing that or not obedient, you held it back from that person. So it's not about coming here to keep you busy. It's about discovering what's inside of you and to find that place and to bless the Lord or others with that and be obedient to that. In Psalm 72, we read the psalm about Solomon that praying to the Lord. And it seems like that Solomon is praying this selfish prayer and saying, Lord, make me famous. Can I have influence? And when you continue to read, you will see that Solomon was asking this for a specific reason, to lift up the widow and the poor in need. And I'm proposing to you, what if God can raise up a generation of people that will pray the same thing, not for selfish desires, not say, Lord, make me famous or give me influence so that I can be the main peanut in the pocky. No, so that I can influence the kingdom of God. If people have that mentality, knowing that, you know what, the influence that you're going to give me, wherever you place me, I will use it to influence for the kingdom. I believe that God can raise up people like that, like a Daniel in the government that he can use because he knew that man's heart was at the right place, you know, and he used him mightily there. My last scripture this afternoon, Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, the word desires of your heart, I just popped to my attention because we were watching a DVD last night about a guy that actually had an experience in heaven. The Lord took him up. And how he showed him his house, and he was sharing about what was in his house, and he couldn't understand how is this possible. the Lord just shared with him, but I'll give you the desires of your heart. But that's not my sermon to talk about that. That's a very rewarding, was really rewarding and encouraging just to see what was happening what he was sharing, what's happening there. But God wants to give you the desires of your heart when your heart is that right place, when you've given over those things. And I'm ending this morning with this story, you know, about a month ago, a little bit more than that. And Chio and myself were sitting in his office, and we were just counseling a mother and a young girl. I think she was about 18 years old. She disappeared twice from her home, you know, with the boyfriend. And so anyway, she came back, and then we were having this discussion, praying with them, just seeing what we can do, we don't know. They approached us. So anyway, so they left there. And then about a week or two ago, Tew sent me a clip from the papers about this girl that disappeared again after we ministered to them. You know, and I was just, you know, I read this article and I said, okay, shame, sorry, it happened again, you know, and then you kind of forget about things. And then I just was kind of rebuked by the Lord about my attitude sometimes about things like that, because I had to answer the question, Lord, or for myself, you know, what would have happened if that was my girl? If that was my daughter, how would I have reacted? Would I just take that thing, read it, okay, he said, you know, life is life, but likewise it happens with us, or I believe, what if the Lord feels the same about his children out there that's lost? When he just throws that picture in front of you and say, go and find them. What do we do with that picture? When God prompts us to say, you know, I've placed that in your hands. Use that to influence my kingdom. Use that to bring that child of mine back. Are we putting that just on the back burner and say, Lord, another day, another opportunity, but not now? I'm ending. What are you doing with your identity? What are you doing with your income? And when I say income, you know what I mean, resources, not money. And what are you doing this morning with your influence? What is in your hand? Let's close our eyes. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are giving us so much more, Lord, that we even can ask or think or imagine, Lord. But Lord, our hands are closed, and very often, Lord, we don't know, we don't see the potential that you've given us, Lord, the ability. We want to repent of that this morning, Lord, and say, Lord, we are sorry that we haven't utilized that, we haven't opened our hands, or we were maybe tight, Lord. Just, we didn't trust you, Lord, that you can do something miraculously with that, Lord. In an actual fact, Lord, we were just disobedient. We just repent of that this morning. But Father, we ask you, Lord, this morning that you will give us grace and that you give us more of that every day, Lord, just to trust you, Lord, and to walk in faith, Lord, and to throw that stuff down so very often, Lord, where we have to trust you, Lord, that you can do miracles with that. Father, I pray for every person here this morning, Lord, for everyone that, and we know, Lord, that everyone is gifted, but Father, I pray that you just come and refresh our minds and our vision again this morning. Lord, enable us to see what you've placed in our hands, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you're giving grace to each one this morning. Grace to multiply that, Lord, this morning. To throw that down, to trust you, Lord, to use that stuff mightily for your kingdom alone. And I want to, while everybody's, every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I never want to let this opportunity pass. If there's somebody here this morning, you know that you're not at that place. I want to go back to the first question. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That is the most important question this morning that I want to stand still. If you are not at that place where you feel comfortable, where you know that you are, that you have a full assurance this morning that you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. So where you are, just where you are, nobody's looking around, I want you to just give me an indication, say, pray with me. We're just going to trust the Lord to do what only He can do in that situation. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word. Father, we just pray that you just continue your work which you started this morning, Lord. We love you this morning, Father. We declare, Lord, that we are nothing without you, Lord. It's grace that's sustaining us this morning, Lord. And as we are realizing, Lord, that you've gifted us with so much more, Lord, this morning, Lord, we're also asking at the same time, give us grace, Lord, to do that which truth demands of us. In Jesus' name, amen.